Amen. Exodus chapter 12 in the great word of God. I prefer it. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to read 13 verses. Small number of scriptures, but I'm going to try to be an encouragement today and help you today. Maybe see a little bit more of who you are and who you're becoming to be. Praise God. I want to become what he wants me to become. Yes. And I'm never at a standstill where I have stopped becoming. And I hope you don't ever get to a standstill either. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, meaning boiled, but roast with fire, his legs with his head with his legs, and with the pertinence or the insides thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Praise God. Those four full words there, he just kind of threw that in there just to express the fact that he's the only God. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I'll read one more verse. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Amen. Amen. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about what God sees. Praise God. What God sees in you. Jesus, pray that you bless your word, bless our heart to hear, my ability to speak, and help us to hear from glory today and be changed forever by your word. And I pray that God, your word, Lord, would be magnified in this house today above all the noise of our life, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen to it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Hallelujah. This passage for us is more than just a historical record of when God delivered Israel from the land of Egypt, took them from Goshen, where he had sent them 430 years before and gave it to them when he brought Jacob and the 70 souls with him down to Joseph and all the story, the backstory there. And they dwelt in the land of Goshen. 430 years have passed since that time. And they have been put into bondage as the Lord foresaw and spoke about. And that they would afterwards come out with a great substance into a land flowing with milk and honey. As God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, as I swear to give it to you, I will do so. And so Abraham believed God, and the scripture says it was imputed unto him for righteousness because he believed God and said, I believe that. Even though he sojourned in the land that God promised him as a stranger, here they are, and it is time to go and to inherit that promise of God. But there is a small little issue to deal with first, and that is the Egyptians. Hallelujah. verse 1 says something, and I'm going to highlight a few things in each of these 13 or almost 13 verses of scripture for you to think about. Verse 1, where it says that God spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Now, God had sent Moses, and you know the story there from Exodus 3, how he kind of went back and forth with the Lord about going, and he gave him Aaron as his spokesperson. And they both went down and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." At this stage, there have been all of these plagues upon Egypt, and yet there's one yet to happen, the straw that will break the camel's back. But God is speaking to both of these leaders in the land of Egypt. Number one, I just want to say God can speak anywhere. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And they were in the land of bondage. They were in the land of taskmasters. But that didn't stop God from speaking to them. Praise God. I don't care how in bondage you might feel. I don't care how much life has captured you. I don't care what's going on in your life today. In any area of your life, God can speak right where you are. Praise the Lord. That the ungodly, idolatrous Egyptians could not stop God from talking to two people in the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. They didn't have to leave the land of Egypt to hear from heaven. God stepped right into bondage and said, "I'll talk wherever I please." Hallelujah. I'm glad to serve a God like that. Because that means when the storms of life do rage, as the song says, praise God, I've got a God who's able to speak right in the middle of that storm. Hallelujah. It may be noisy for us, but not noisy for him. His voice is a little louder than it is. Amen. It's a lot more powerful. So I'm glad that God can speak. Amen. We have to be reminded that our deliverance started when we were in bondage. The word of God came to us, not when we were saved. That wasn't the first time we heard from God. We heard it when we were in our Egypt. Yes. That God spoke to us. He was the man of God to speak to us. When we were in Egypt, Egypt is a figure of the world of sin when you read the word of God. Egypt became a symbol, if you will, in terminology to represent darkness, disobedience, sin, the world. So wherever we find ourselves in this world, God can speak to us. And God is not locked up by what's got us locked up. We've all been there, but our journey began when somebody who was influenced by somebody, who was influenced by somebody, who came out of darkness into his marvelous light, then came and brought that light to us when we were in darkness. While we were yet sinners, the scripture says, Christ died for us. Isn't that right? While this world was yet in its Egypt, it was in its bondage with sin as its taskmaster, Jesus came rolling into town. Praise God, right in the middle of it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not terrified one bit by the darkness that has each and every one of us, right? Amen. He came to deliver us. Gross darkness to people, a light shine. Yeah. And we ought to be encouraged by that because sometimes even when we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we find that darkness comes upon us or darkness comes about us or life just gets dark. You understand what I'm saying here today? But that will never stop the light from being the light. It will never diminish the light. He'll never lose his shininess because of darkness. In fact, when there's darkness, he's attracted to it. Praise God. When we got trouble, he's attracted to it. When you want to stay home because you've got troubles, Jesus wants to go get you out of home and bring you into the church house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And remind you seem to forget, honey child, what I did in Egypt. Hallelujah. And so he begins something for them in verse 2. Now he begins a calendar year for them by saying this month that you leave Egypt will be your first month in your calendar. Isn't it amazing how God can give us such a beginning? It's true. He gave them their own timeline, their own calendar. Said, okay, you come to serve me this month. Is your first month. Anytime you and I, I've said this before, I'll say it again, many preachers have. Anytime you need a beginning, we've got a beginning with God. And it's a beginning we can always fall back on if we mess things up. Remember what the scripture teaches in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when it talks about, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That if any man build upon this foundation, hay, stubble, wood, you know, things that don't belong there, every man's work will be tried by fire of what sort it is. But if the man loses all of his work, if God burns some stuff up in your life, if he brings a heat wave in your direction and you suffer because it's the hand of God, the scripture says, yet he himself shall be saved, and so as by fire. The same fire that will destroy the carnality out of you is the same fire that will save you from carnality. Praise the Lord. You might lose some stuff. You might find yourself in church having gone through some rough stuff you didn't have to go through. But if you're here, thank God you're here. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's because he's the beginning. And he's your beginning. And he's your ending. And don't ever allow what you go through in life to make you feel like you don't have something to fall back onto, even when you mess it all up. If you mess it up. If that's the case with you, may not be, maybe just life. But it doesn't matter. I've always got a beginning. I've got a beginning with God. You've got a beginning with God. It's not the same as their calendar year that he began with them as he drove them out. But similarly, if I could say it in this way, we all have our starting point. We all have our beginning in the light as God delivered us. We all have a testimony. Your own testimony can deliver you. If you have nothing else, you can fall back on a beginning. Even if somewhere between the beginning and the ending, it starts to get ugly. If you start to veer, you've got a starting point with God. You've got a beginning. This shall be a beginning to you. God knows how to save us. He's smarter than we are. He knows we're sometimes just a bunch of dumbbells. Praise God. But he's put something inside of our soul, amen, that he knows will go off at just the right moment to bring us back and to remind us to come back to a place of peace when you first found him. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. A place of no condemnation. A place of no shame. A place of no guilt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A place of where you can feel like, okay, I feel fresh all over again. I feel like I'm walking out of Egypt for the first time, like I'm walking through that Red Sea for the very first time. Hallelujah. So he's talking to the children of God here, and they begin their first Passover. And they're to take a lamb, and as we read in Peter's epistles, that we are born again not by corruptible things, but by the word of God. And we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And the reason why he said it that way is to bring us back to a moment like this that we're reading. And he's saying, just like they had to get a lamb without blemish and without spot and offer that lamb up and kill it in the evening and partake of the Passover, Christ is our Passover. And maybe we get so used to what we have that we forget the potency of what we have. Maybe we're so used to being apostolic that we forget what it means to be apostolic, and we have to kind of come back to where Jesus does a replay, and we realize that all power belongs to God, and that power he poured out in your life if you've got the Holy Ghost. Just because you get busy, just because life does what it does to you, it doesn't mean it's diminished the awesomeness of the power of God like when you first found him. Amen. Hallelujah. If you get your eyes on other things, if you start varying off to the right or to the left, that's you. It's not the Lord. I'm not saying anyone's doing that today. I'm just making a point. Jesus is our lamb. He's still our lamb. He's always our lamb. He wasn't just the lamb one time. Yes, he offered himself up one time. But there are moments in our lives when we need to lean back, right, on the shed blood that we have already participated in and just be renewed and refreshed and our soul sprinkled again. Praise God. Search me, David said. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh God, keep me from secret faults and presumptuous sins. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want any wicked way in me. Amen. You have searched me. You have known me. You have tried me. Praise God. You understand my thoughts afar off. I'm glad to serve a God like that, because sometimes I can't understand my own thoughts. Sometimes I can't understand the depths of my own human being, but Jesus knows it all. And when I don't understand, that's when I go to the one that rescued me the first time, and I cast all my care upon him. Praise God, for he cares for me. Oh God, keep me delivered. Hallelujah, keep me delivered. Hallelujah. You might know yourself, but you don't know yourself as much as he does. So they were to take this lamb, and as we already read, but Jesus is, this is the whole reason why they offered this lamb was because of the Christ that would come, who would be the ultimate Passover lamb. See, Jesus does stuff even when you don't get it. His disciples didn't get it. Pretty much till the end, they didn't get it. They weren't quite aware of what he was saying when he said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Praise God. What I've got to do, I'm doing for you. And they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Sometimes we don't understand it. But thank God he still did it. Thank God he still does what he does for us. Amen. When we read that scripture, he daily loads us with benefits. I don't think we grab everything that verse is saying. Sometimes those benefits is a whack in our Rumpelstiltskin. Praise God. Sometimes it's an abrupt grab the child before they run out into the street and get hit by a car. That's a daily benefit too. Amen. It's not just an increase in your bank account. Some people need something besides an increase in natural stuff. Need to get their mind off of the fact that they need food and they need this and they need that and they need the other, and that they just need a good little talk with Jesus that makes everything right. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Our soul needs to be delivered at the end of the day. So we're reading. Let me try to get to this message here. So there we're to keep it in verse 7. Some pretty powerful stuff here in the Word of God. Talking about what God sees today. How does God see you? Why is it that we read in the Word of God, he says to some, depart from me, for I never knew you, after they cried out? And we said these recently, I know, but I'm just repeating this because it falls into play here. We prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, and he tells them, depart from me, I never knew you. So there's something in their lives that he wasn't seeing. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post, the lintel of the houses, wherein they shall eat. And he explains to them here in this passage that when death passes over, when he comes to smite the firstborn of Egypt, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. When he sees what he wants to see, and he sees what you want him to see, I want him to see that I'm bought by the precious blood of Christ, as is written in the book of Corinthians. Amen. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. I want him to see that. I want him to see that he has purchased me and that he owns me and that I belong to him. Praise God. When he pours out fire and brimstone in this world, I want him to see, I own that. I'm not touching that. And I hope you feel the same way. Praise God. Let's continue reading here for a moment. So they're to apply this blood. Now, here's the thing about people of God. People of God always do stuff that makes them look awkward to other people. Hard-hearted, unbelieving, idolatrous people, if you look at the history of the Egyptians, if there was any civilization that was full of idolatry, it was the Egyptians. I mean, all their stuff to an archaeological standpoint of view, I guess, is quite fascinating, but just idolaters to the max. And I can imagine some people thinking to themselves at even time, what are those Hebrews doing? They're killing lambs, and they're wiping lamb blood on the door of their houses. Look, you're just going to have to understand something about yourself, especially if you're new in this thing. you're going to be awkward. Why do you think the word says we're a peculiar people? Don't be afraid to be peculiar. Because your peculiarness is a whole lot better than the peculiarness of this world. Have you opened your eyes lately and just seen how out of whack and out of sync this world is? They're like a planet out of orbit. Fallen star. They are just baddie. Lawless. Out of control. And they call that normal. That's not normal. So don't you dare feel awkward if they mock your way of dress. If they mock that holy glow in your face. You talk about shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you walk around like a doorway covered in blood. Think about it. You're an entrance. And you're an exit. Covered in blood. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm okay with being peculiar. I'm okay with that. Mock on, people. I'm washed. Are you washed today? Praise the Lord. I don't have to be embarrassed in the presence of a bunch of carnal people, sinful people, idolatrous people, wicked people for who I am. I wasn't in high school. Wasn't on the job, haven't been since. And I'm sure some of you, all of you can say the same. Paul said it like this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Amen, I'm not ashamed. Praise God. I'm wanting to find in this passage something that the Lord said. Here we go. Verse 21. Because it goes through and it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread that they would keep after the Passover, 7 days of unleavened bread. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. How do you feel about being washed in the blood of the Lamb now? Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it amazing? The same God that's going to destroy the world did something so that those who obeyed what he did, his own wrath won't touch them. Praise God. That grace and mercy and truth went ahead of his wrath and said, rescue first, and those that are rescued I won't touch when I come later. Hallelujah. That's what we have here today. That's what we have. When we're clapping our hands, there's something being spoken unto God. When we're worshiping God, no matter what's going on in our life, when we say, I will not be, I shall not be moved, God is hearing a testimony coming from a life that has blood all over it. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. Praise God. And let me just read this for a quick second before I come back to verse 13 here. And doing all right on time. Good. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you this by this service? What's this Passover all about? It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. Praise God. What a testimony. Well, what's going to happen the next time somebody asks you, why were you baptized in Jesus' name? What's your answer? Well, the Bible tells us we're supposed to do it. Yeah, it's an all right answer. Not as good as the one you could give them, though. We could give them an Exodus answer. We could say something like, well, because I don't want the wrath of God and the fire and brimstone that is coming to destroy my soul. And because I'm baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins, when you're burned up, I won't be. Yes. Praise the Lord. When you're cast into hell, I won't be. He's going to pass over us and take us to glory when he destroys all of this world of wickedness. Would you like to go with us? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a little bit of a different answer. I know it's a little bold. But it's a lot better than saying, well, the Bible says in Acts 2:38. Nah, that's an okay answer. It's true, but they don't know Acts 2:38. They don't know the scripture. But they can't understand stuff like, well, you know, I was living in a world just like you. I was doing things just like you. But one day I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I learned that if I would let God wash me, that he would not destroy me. I could be saved from himself. I'm not trying to be saved from the devil. I'm saved from God and for God. Praise God, because of God. The devil's a prisoner. The only reason why he was considered at one point our father, it's because we served sin. And he's the father of lives, and we were of that spirit because we were of sin and darkness and transgression, disobeying God. But we decided to jump out of that camp. Amen. By the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ and be delivered from the wrath that is to come and be delivered into the hope that is to come. I'm not serving God because I'm trying to escape hell. I'm serving him because I love him. But French benefit, we're not going to hell. Praise the Lord. And we get to rejoice in hope against the wrath that is to come. Read that in just one moment. Well, let's go back to verse 13 because there's something here that I want to share with you. It's a word here. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Could I just ask you a question? What does this mean to you? It's not about those at the moment who aren't living for God. We hope someday we can be an effect on at least one more soul. And I believe we will. We don't have to worry about trying to save 7 billion people. We can just start with one and let one multiply into another and another and another, and we'll have to move. Praise God. But what does this mean to you? I'm not worried about what it means to the lost. But what does it mean to you? He said, this shall be a token to you. When you start prizing this great possession, you'll make better choices in life. You'll go the right direction when you cherish, right? When I cherish the old rugged cross. At last, my trophies I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Amen? Exchange it someday for a crown. When you cherish what you have in God, that's what this is all about. So he said here, in the blood shall be to you for a token. What's the word token mean? A sign. It'll be a sign upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And here's this awesome thing. Every single day that you live born of God, you are a sign of the wrath and the resurrection that is yet to come. Think about that. As a born-again child of God, you yourself are a token that says two things. I'm on my way to glory because glory is coming. And I'm also going to be escaped from the wrath that is also coming. Every day you live with, I'm going and I'm not going. And you're a living testimony to this world by your conversion, by the experience of God in your life, that something's coming. Something's coming. It's a token. It's a sign of an event for them. That blood on their doorpost meant something's coming, and there's a reason why it's here. Now, the rest of them that said, nah, we don't want to do that, maybe some Israelites decided this is hogwash. Well, they lost their firstborn that night. And God went through and broke the backbone of Egypt and smote everyone down from the son of Pharaoh to the cattle. To the point where Pharaoh called up Moses and said, get out of Dodge. And they left in haste. Hallelujah. And spoiled the Egyptians on the way out. Praise God. They gave them whatever they needed. Just get out of here. Praise God. Just get out of here. Go away. You don't have to worry about the scoffers and the mockers and the unbelievers when they say stuff like, well, how do you know God's real? Well, how do you know heaven's real? How do you know it's real? How do you know it's not? Blah, blah, blah. Silliness. You know, it's one thing when somebody sincerely asks you. It's another thing when they have that dumb sound in their voice and their unbelief and hardness of heart. Look, their unbelief doesn't do away with the blood. Don't you get shaken because they challenge you. You just tell them, I'm a living witness. I'm washed in Jesus' name from my sins, praise God, and I've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and something's coming. And if you don't get in on it, you're going to be destroyed by it. A token to you. And it's a token and a sign to the world that something's coming. So please, I beg of you today, if you're hearing this message, don't ignore any aspect of the born-again experience. What does it mean to you? Somewhere along the way, you've got to ask. We all had to. We all had to hunger and thirst after this thing and to find it for ourselves. And I pray today that you find it, that you want it for whatever reason. If you're afraid of hell, fine. That's a good enough reason to be converted. You'll get over that soon enough and realize it has no power over you. But you have a token inside of you. And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. What does the Lord see? Does the Lord see himself in you? Does he see the shed blood covering you? Does he see his redemption, his atonement in your life? I hope he sees it, praise God. I want him to see it in me, amen? Nothing in this world is worth it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be worldly. We live in a world, but it doesn't mean we're worldly. We're in this world, but we're not of the sin of this world. We make choices on what we do, how we live, so that the righteousness and the holiness and the blood of Christ and the effects of the blood. I want to be covered by the blood. I don't want to trample upon the blood. And there are many that have left, that have walked through the door, if you will. Just picture an Israelite at this time walking outside when they were told not to go outside this place until the morning. And yet they decided, I'm leaving. Because there's some Egyptian chick down the street who's calling for me. Or some wicked, handsome Egyptian dude down the road. We've made a decision to meet tonight. I can't stay in the house tonight. Firstborn's talking. So they leave. And they leave the covering. Some people don't realize what they've done to their soul. But that's them. I can't stop them. Can only hope that some will turn around again and realize their huge blunder and come running to God and be covered again. But as for me and my house, amen, we'll serve the Lord. Romans 5, I close with this. Thank you for listening. I hope it made sense to you today. I'm trying to just drill home what God sees. When I see the blood, when I see it, when I see it. Even some people baptized in Jesus' name, God might look at them and say, I still don't see it. You'd think automatically that, well, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm all right. I'm washed. I hope so. But we are to repent and be baptized. And you can't be baptized if you're still living in sin. Romans 5. See, the great thing about a message like this, and I try to explain it, but maybe this verse will help you. Romans chapter 5. Where is it, my Bible? It's in here. Somewhere. All right, I'm going to put my glasses on. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an epistle written to the church, already born again, not a church needing to be born. Therefore, being justified by faith. What faith? The faith that is in relation to one sacrifice that shed blood that could cleanse the entire human race. That's where the faith comes. The faith comes in the fact that if I turn from my wicked way in repentance, through repentance, and I am buried in water in his name, that my conscience is going to be free from sin. That's where the faith comes from. That's what it's about. It's not about, well, I need to keep offering up a lamb every year for my transgressions. It's not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, by the demonstration of the first covenant, no flesh is justified. It was never meant to cleanse and justify and perfect anybody. It was meant to establish the awareness of the goodness of the word of God, knowing that God knew that it was weak because of the flesh and because of the sin still reigning in their mortal body. So he sent Christ into the world to fix that problem so that we, through his blood and by his name, might be cleansed forever and perfected. And thus we live by faith. That's what living by faith is all about. We're still in this world and we're absent from the world that is yet to come. So our entire existence in this life depends upon our repentance, remission of sins in his name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. As long as we're in this world, we're living by faith and not by sight. That's what that verse really means. The sight means we're not there yet. We're here still. So we're depending wholeheartedly on our born-again experience to keep us unspotted from the world, so that if there is ever a time in our life when we need access again, listen to what this says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is why we don't give up. This is why things work for us, work for them that love God, right? Romans 8:28. Praise God. It's designed to do that because we have access to this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in Egypt, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that's what I'm wanting to read to you in closing here today. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, because he rose from the dead. Praise God. God's so good, isn't he? Let's just love him a moment here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We are made right by the blood of Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And I really can't quote that realistically. On this side of the cross, being people who are not Jews, we read that verse, but it's really not applying to us, because no Gentile had any work of righteousness anyway. They weren't even included. And this is where people read the scripture wrong, being so many centuries removed from what was said in the first century, because there's no understanding. To a Jew, you could say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, because they were followers of the law. And even Paul said, concerning the law, I was blameless. So I did everything he wanted me to do. My zeal was persecuting the church that I thought was not of God. It was against the law of God. And that's why I did what I did with such zeal. So none of us had any righteousness. That's why, you know, remember, when you're reading the prophets where it says all our righteousness is as filthy rags, you're reading about Jews following Mosaic law, which was trying to teach them and impart to them righteousness. Well, not talking to all the sinners and nations of the world. They didn't have any righteousness. They were lawless. That's why Paul explained in this epistle, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak, God sent his own son in the likeness, so that what? He would remove the law of sin and death out of us, whether Jew or Gentile. It was both working in both. but they just had the knowledge of God, whereas Gentiles didn't. So that we could have the law of the Spirit of life working in us to keep us free from the law of sin and death. And this is where our justification comes into play and why it's so important that God sees what God sees, because what God sees is what he put there. His blood, his righteousness, his name, his holiness, it all comes from the Lord. And that's when you can go back to Ephesians 2 and read it properly, that we're saved by grace through faith and that not of works, lest any man should boast. People today read that and they're like, yeah, nothing I could do to be saved. Well, right. But you're not quoting it right. You don't have anything right about you anyway. And you're not even what that verse is talking about. Praise God. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that story. That's another topic. Let's all stand. But you understand, I'm simply saying there are times, this is where people, we are in a struggle to help people not be destroyed by the destroyer. People who believe that they are covered by the blood and they're not yet covered. You're not covered by the blood. The blood's not there on your doorposts until it is. Hallelujah. But if it is, you have a reason to rejoice today. Praise God. No matter where you are with God, beginning, middle, or you've been around a while, makes no difference. If you're washed in his name, praise God, you have a reason to rejoice today. Praise God. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, we love you. We thank you. We love you. We thank you. We love you. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we love you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Good. So good reports from Sister Pat and Sister Heather. Amen. And everything's good. And thanking you all for the prayer and feeling good and able to listen to the word today. And I'm just summing it up, Sister Heather. Praise God. And just a very rough day for her and physically. So God knows. Amen. And she loves you all. Amen. Praise God. God's so good, isn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's so much to say, and I don't mean to keep going on and on. I think you get the message here today. I hope you appreciate it and trying to impart it in a way that's just, we have a lot to be thankful for. I know we live in a world today where there's just so much negativity. Please, let's remain people who are thankful, because it could be, I don't know, it could be just what it is so much that, yes, we could say now more than ever, the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And I don't want life and all these foolish ideologies that are passing in the American air to affect me and cause me to walk outside of the covered blood. Praise God. I don't want to be involved. That's why I say some things that I say, just because I know it's out there and you're hearing it. Not to make political messages out of anything, and I don't want anybody saying anything in the pulpit. You come testify, you give God praise, and leave it there. Amen. And but I'm just mentioning it, not trying to take advantage of the pulpit, but just to warn you to stay away from these things that are not of God. There is a movement in our nation today that is evil, pure evil. It's neither Democrat nor Republican. It is just pure evil. It is leaven. And it's going after both good sections of both parties, if I could even say it like that. And it's bigger than that. It's a spirit of this world that's wanting to upset every single thing that's normal. And this is just darkness. This is what we came out of. We came into normalcy for the first time when we were converted. Make sure none of these things get inside of you. That's why I make mention of some things concerning. Well, I'm not going to try to get on it here today. Oh, the enemy is such a liar. Just make sure it doesn't affect you. Amen. Make sure we love one another and we're not caught away and blinded by a bunch of foolish stuff. See the spirit behind the thing before you get caught up one way or the other and persuaded. Make sure that at the end of the day, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers. Be more persuaded there than you are persuaded politically or any other direction. Amen? Stay away from all the phobics. Stay away from all the movements. Stay away from that stuff. Stay clear of that stuff. Keep that disgusting bitterness and hatred out of your soul. Don't stand for one group or the other group. You stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. You stand for God and everything that relates to God. Praise the Lord. And that's the way to live. And that's the way to overcome the world, because it's all nonsense. And when it all falls apart, they're going to run here and cry for help anyway. So we might as well be there for them. Amen. I hope they do. We'll get that baptismal tank ready. And we'll let's baptize that race stuff out of your soul. And that communism out of your soul. Can we sing a song before we leave? I'm trying to stop talking here. I feel like blasting the devil now. That idolatrous fool. Praise God. That wicked spirit. He knows his time is up. And it could be that time is up and we're nearer than we've ever believed. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're washed. Make sure your priority is Christ. Would you please go after all the trouble in your life with the Holy Ghost power? And with a peace that passes understanding, would you draw lines in your own soul that say, we're just not going to allow this here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Surely after all the time pastor has pastored this church, and I've tried in 5 years, you're strong enough to stand. Even the newest among us. You get more word and more knowledge and more impact than a lot of places. Praise God. You've got what it takes to stand. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing. I've got to stop. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.